A lot of times what people do, they try it a couple of times and say it doesn't work, you know, and they don't stay with it. They don't stick with it. I learned through that process that I had to stay with it and I had to be disciplined and I had to learn how to listen to him. If he tells me, do not go left, do not go left.
This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is someone whose story goes far beyond the baseball diamond. Daryl Strawberry, four-time World Series champion, all-star, incredibly known for his talent and success in Major League Baseball. But after baseball, faced many of life's deepest struggles. And yet through it all, the power of the gospel changed his life. And he's been in here at Grace College in Warsaw, sharing what the Lord has done in and through him. And so thankful to have you on the podcast as well today. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Thanks for having me. It's been a great day. Thanks for having me here on Grace College campus, just to be a part of the amazing things that you guys are doing here.
Thank you. And I know you're going out to visit with our baseball team next. We hope you can, you know, both give them some gospel, but also give them some home run hitting power if you could as well. Somehow, like, infuse them with some of that. We'd appreciate it.
I'll work on that a little bit. I try to help them out with the baseball part, just as well as the faith part, because baseball's fun.
That's right.
And young men need to know that when you're out on the field and you put the uniform on, have fun. Don't put extra pressure on yourself. Experience it in a good way because that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Sports is good for young athletes to be able to play, intertwine with each other and come together and hopefully do some winning.
Yeah. Well, for those in my era, we know your name and fame well. We watched up growing you, grew up watching you, and so. But give us the story behind the story: where you grew up, you know, how baseball entered into your life, what it did for you, and then what it did to you, and then how Jesus saved you.
Well, you make a really good point there about growing up and how do we grow up and where did we grow up. You know, I grew up in South Central LA, and I grew up in the hood. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. My father was not a very nice person. He was alcoholic, so he had a lot of issues. So he took his issues out on the kids, and so we suffered a lot, and we kind of hid behind everything, but the pain was real. I always tell people about brokenness. Brokenness is real. You know, lawlessness brings about brokenness until somebody break that curse off of the family. And I was able to do that eventually off of my own personal family and kids. But I had to go through this long journey of suffering. And what happened to me was I got into sports. You know, I got into playing baseball, basketball, football. And I got into like having these amazing coaches come into my life. And they were like a father figure to me. Mm. They led me down the road of showing me how to play sports and showing me how to be disciplined. It wasn't easy because I think a lot of times people don't understand when you're hurting and you're in pain, it's a lot deeper than you can ever imagine, especially when you're a kid. You know, we're talking about 14 years old, 13, living through these nightmares of dad coming home and yelling, making all kind of noise with my mother. And we got up in the middle of the night for the final time drunk. And me and my brothers went into action like we were going to kill him. My brother Ronnie went into the kitchen, grabbed a butcher knife. I grabbed a frying pan, and he pulled out a shotgun, said he was going to kill us all. Had it not been for my mother getting us out of the house, we probably would have killed him that night. And it could have been a tragedy in my life before I ever put the uniform on. So, I mean, I put the uniform on, but I still was broken. And the scars and the wounds were already there. So I had to live with that for a very long time. And I thank God for all the coaches that I had through Little League, high school, and minor league that helped me build this self-esteem of believing in myself. Yeah. You have to have people to help you to believe in yourself when you grow up, no matter where you come from. If it's a white picket fence, which is nothing true of that, but you know, it's just a home and you have a family at home, you're still going to have to deal with life situations, and I was no different than anybody else. And I'm glad I had to go through that, but it's hard. I wouldn't recommend it on anybody else to have to go through it. But sometimes God chooses those people that he knows that's going to be best for him in the end. that they have to go through some of the hardest things in life. And I was one of those people. I had to experience, just like Saul, you know, I just mm-hmm. had to experience the hard lesson learned from God, where God had to stop me because the calling was great. Had it not, like I said, had it not been for those coaches bringing, you know, structure to my life, there's no telling where I might have ended up.
Hmm. Wow. So then you get into baseball young, and obviously have great success. Speak to those, you know, students who might have great success, and what are the blessings and what are the warnings of that success?
That's a really good question, because the blessings are great because you're very talented and you know how to have success, but still at the same time, who am I? I think a lot of times we don't know who we are.
Yeah.
The blessings are good. Athletes and people, non-athletes, you know, if you're a person that's having success and I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be this, but a lot of times we don't really know who we are. And what I mean by that is we're going to face some challenges. And then what do we do when we do face those? How do we deal with those challenges that we face? Because we're all going to face them.
Yes.
We're all going to have to go through some things that where people, we don't put them on ourselves. Other people can put them on us, and we have to deal with them. We have to face them. We have to live with them. So it's a way that you learn how do I respond to what's going on. Because everybody responds when you're going good. When you play,
it's easy then, right?
It's very easy. When you're playing and you're on the top and you're winning and you're having success and, you know, fame and money and all this stuff is there. But still, it comes a point when all that wears off. And then that's the question to yourself. What am I supposed to be doing here? Who am I? Because this is going to come to an end. Everything comes to an end. And then you have to reinvent yourself. If you can't and you don't have, you know, the proper skill set to do that, you mm-hmm. will not do it. You will fall into the traps of life that'll leave you in darkness. It'll leave you lonely. It'll leave you isolated. And it leaves people with anxiety and fear.
Mm-hmm.
We all experience it. I was no different than anybody else. I experienced it for myself, life after baseball. Because baseball is great. I was at the high of my height, and the cheers were there. But when the cheers stop, what happens? Now you're walking a different way. Now you have to look at you, and you have to say to yourself, what am I here to do? It's got to be something greater than what I was doing. Baseball was just a game. That was just a show. When people go out and cheer for you, we're putting on the show.
Yeah.
But when the show is over, what do you do?
Yeah.
That's the question that most athletes, entertainers, and people in general ask themselves. And the only answer I could really give to people of what happened to me is I had to go through this journey and had to go through these storms of life to come out to the other outside of it, of myself, to realize that I was called for something greater than I could ever imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had, you know, many know your baseball career, many even know the struggles, the fall, that the arrest, the things that happened after. Maybe not as many people know, you know, about Jesus transforming work in your life. So how did, and what's the story of Christ drawing him to yourself?
That's a very powerful statement there, because the fact is Christ wants to draw to all of us.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of us yielding to him. And that's a process. You know, that's not an overnight miracle. It's not a I dream a genie, magic wand, boom, which most people think will hit you over the head. Where did the light come? And
yes.
It wasn't the light. It was a process of spending time with God in the Word. Because I learned that God can not know you and reveal himself to you if you don't read his Word. It's only through his Word that he reveals himself to you so you can know him and have a relationship with him. We want to have a relationship with this God of our own understanding, people. And there's no God of your own understanding. It's Christ that you come to know, Jesus Christ. People say, well, Mr. Darrow, how did you find Christ? Christ was never lost. He's always been there. He's the one waiting for us to come and enter in. And it wasn't until I came to enter in with him and submit myself to him and submit myself to the principles. Then that's when you have the change of life. That's when your life starts to take a different turn. Because now you're starting to live according to God's will and not your own personal will and not the worldly standards. I think too many people are conformed. You know, Romans 12:2 tells us about that, about do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. So you have to renew your mind, and you have to allow the word to live inside of you and become a living epistle for Christ. It's different. It's not just living. You become different inside, and you think different, you act different, you talk different. And it's like the sweetest thing that can happen to a person when they finally come to that place and make that commitment. It's work.
And I want to ask a question about that, because today in chapel you talked about, you know, the Holy Spirit revealing his word, the Holy Spirit then indwelling you and getting the word, as you said, in your belly. And I mean, you were just rattling off verses left and right, and you could tell this wasn't like a script. I mean, this was just what was inside of you that was coming out of you. And like you said, that doesn't, there's some discipline that happens. It's a process. And for those of us who say, right, we follow Jesus, we want to know Jesus, we raise our hands and worship, you know, but you've actually done something behind the scenes somewhere in the closet, like to get that word in a very disciplined manner. Mm-hmm. As much as you're willing to reveal, like what have you done? What has that actually looked like for you to know the word so well, where it just kind of, it just flows out?
Oh, well, that's just like hiding out with the Holy Spirit, hiding out in a place, a closet, wherever it may be. All those places that I was doing that and always do that. And, you know, if I have to go in a closet just to hide out with the Holy Spirit and it's dark, and let him talk to me and me listen to him and me asking him questions about the word and about God's ways, and asking him to give me scriptures. And then he's like, what do you want to do with the scriptures? I says, don't put them in my head, because I'm a knucklehead. I said, put them in my belly and retain them in my belly. So when I need to pull them out, I can just go in my belly. I can look down and I can pull the scripture out, and I could use that scripture when I'm ministering the gospel. And that was the discipline that I went through. You got to shut off the noise if you really want to hear supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You want to activate him. See, I think that's the problem with most people. They don't activate the Holy Spirit inside of them. He's there waiting. He's waiting to give you something that you don't, that you can't do, but he can do for you. And that's how I receive so much information, because I allow him to be who he is. He's God. You know, he's part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're all in one. And if Jesus says, I'm going to send you one, the Comforter, to teach you all things, that's what he means. He's going to send him to you. You receive him, treat him like a gentleman, and he's going to teach you. He's going to teach you the Bible, because that is his purpose for being here, is to teach us how to walk with God and how to be disciplined. And it takes discipline to do all that. See, I knew all that because I did it in baseball. I was disciplined. Athletes are disciplined to get to train and do all these different things. A lot of times most people are not that disciplined, so they don't really know what that's like. Mm. They push discipline to the side. But you have to be that way, in the same way you're walking with God, in the same way you want to walk in your career. And if you do that, you're going to be empowered with such revelation, because the Holy Spirit is supernatural and he is smart as ever, and he's going to teach you everything about scriptures. And I think a lot of times people don't allow that to happen. A lot of times what people do, they try it a couple of times and say it doesn't work, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't stay with it. They don't stick with it, you know. And I learned through that process that I had to stay with it, and I had to be disciplined, and I had to learn how to listen to him. I know his voice. I know exactly what he says. If he tells me, do not go left, do not go left. He's telling you for a reason.
Yes.
And sometimes people hear that and they go left anyway. And you wonder, well, why did I end up over here? Well, the Spirit was trying to lead you and tell you, do not go that way, turn and go the other way. And that's where you have to learn how to be very disciplined and realize that it's not you, it is Him speaking to you, and remove yourself from the flesh of it.
I really like that. And that, what a great reminder and message. I mean, especially as you talk to athletes, like, they know what discipline is. They know what that looks like in an athletic setting, and in order to perform at their best. It's no different in a spiritual setting. It's just a different set of disciplines, but it takes the same work, except you also have, you know, the best coach ever in the Holy Spirit
yes.
to multiply those disciplines into a completely and utterly changed life perspective.
It's going to take you to a whole different level.
Yeah, that's
you know, it's not going to take you to a level of worldly thinking. He's going to take you to a level of kingdom thinking.
That's so good. So, you know, somewhere along the journey, I think you mentioned, you know, 7 years of really discipleship when you first came to Christ, and obviously continuing ever since. But at some point, you know, you were, as you said, taken from the pit to the pulpit. When were you taken to the pulpit, and what were those first few times for you of standing on stage and sharing your story?
I was completely nervous. I was completely nervous about the whole fact that God was calling me for a higher calling. And I didn't want to do it. I just like stood in pulpits before and talked, and I goes, I'm not doing this, God. And He goes, oh, yes, you are. You know, I've called you to do this now. I said, I just can't. I'm not a public speaker. I'm afraid to speak that I won't sound right or say something stupid. He goes, it's all part of it. It's all part of the growing process. And when I first started doing it, it was like all part of that process. And I was like, oh, this is very uncomfortable. I wrestled with Him. Like, I can't do it. Then He finally got me to a clear understanding that you're not going to do it. The Holy Spirit is going to speak through you. And you're going to have to learn how to trust Him. And you're going to have to learn how to listen to Him. And you're going to have to learn how to listen to what He's telling you to say. Mm. And once I started to learn how to do that and get really comfortable with Him, leading me and guiding me, it became incredible. It just became a new way of talking once I got into the pulpit. I realized that it was no longer me. It was just me doing the work and me doing putting the sermon together, but it would be Him delivering it.
Yeah.
You know, when I look down on that paper, that is Him delivering. I just need to say what is being written in front of me and say it and let Him say it the way He needs to say it. And that's when I started to really become very comfortable at the calling. But it took time. It wasn't like it was an overnight miracle.
Yeah.
Like you're this great man standing in the pulpit and all these great preachers there in the country, and they know so much and been to school. And who are you to think you're going to come up here and you know so much about God? But you know what I did, Drew? I just started letting God be God.
Yeah.
You know, and that became my way of being comfortable, because I started to know that I didn't have to do it, that God was going to do it through me.
Wow. And that's your opportunity on the stage. What does it look like for you? Because I know after this, you know, hopefully you're headed on a plane. We're working on that right now. And you're going to New York, and you're headed back to the Mets. And you still have this entree into, you know, Major League Baseball, into a next generation of players. They all know you. They all look up to you. They know what you accomplished on the field. What does it look like for you, and how does that boldness play out in letting God be God as you get to have personal relationships or interactions with next generation?
I think it's important just to be in a living example more than anything. You don't preach to people. When I go around baseball, they know what I do, and they look at me and they look at my life, and you walk in humility. I think God teaches you how to walk humble in front of people. Because that's the greatest That's the greatest gift a man can receive, is to walk in humility. Because when you do, God exalts you, and he allows people to see that you're different. Do I give baseball advice? Yes. Do I critique players? No. I would never do that because I was a player myself, and I know how hard it is to do. But I want young athletes and players to know, have fun, you know, because it goes so fast.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're in late age and you're close to retiring after you've done all these great things out here. And then you, then who are you after that, after you take the uniform off? So everybody has to figure that out. But I want them to be able to have fun and enjoy the moment of the time and try to win. You know, you play, especially the guys play in New York, you know, it's hard to play there because everybody's got something to say. And they say, well, how did you do it? I said, I never let the noise get in.
Hmm.
The noise is there, but don't let it get in you. Because if it get in you, it's going to defeat you. And you got to remember one thing. You know how to play. You've done this your whole life. Why does all of a sudden, because you get at the highest level, it has to change? It doesn't change. It's still baseball. It's still, you still got to be fundamentally sound. You still got to hit the ball. You still got to run. You still got to pay attention. And just do all those things. And if young players can learn that about themselves, then they'll win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a battle with inside yourself when you put pressure on yourself. Because a lot of times you start squeezing and you start getting tight and you start doing things a different way. And I never tried to do that. I just tried to go out there and I just tried to feel free and do it the way I knew how to do it growing up. And don't change it. And yeah. I think if guys can get that, they'll get that part and they'll have great success doing it.
I pull from all of this just the discipline, whether it's discipline in sports, discipline in your spiritual life, and regardless of your age or your stage, if you maintain the discipline of, you know, if it's in your career or if it's in your spiritual life, no matter whether you're, you know, leading a Bible study in your home, leading just yourself, leading on a stage in a church, whether your career is just starting or you're, you know, at the top of your game, the discipline it takes to be sound applies all the time everywhere.
Yeah, it's so real, you know, and I think if more people realize that and just do that and don't try to compare yourself to someone else and want to be like someone else.
Yeah.
Like I was telling the students today, I said, you're very unique. God created you. He knows every last one of us. He want to use what's in you for you to be you.
That's right.
And don't say, well, I don't sound like that person. You're not supposed to sound like that person.
Yes.
I don't have, you're not supposed to have what they have. You're supposed to have what you have. He wants you to embrace your gift and he wants you to use your gift and your gift will reach the people that he's called you to reach.
Yes.
You know, and if we can get our young people to truly understand that, well, I don't want to preach. I don't want to be focused on like that. Don't say what you don't want to do, because I said the same thing. I didn't want to preach.
And also, it's not about you, right?
Exactly. At the end of the day, it was really not, because had I, you know, tried to stick to what I was saying, that I didn't want to do this, and God so would say, okay, since you don't want to do it, I'm going to make you do it. And that's that's what happened. I'm glad I had enough courage to fight through it,
yeah.
Because it was really a hard process. It was a hard challenge for me to be able to believe that he was calling me to this place and it was different than I could ever experience. I could hit a baseball. I could do everything great on the baseball field, but I was like, I cannot comprehend, you know, the Bible, the Word of God, and deliver it to people. He goes, you're not going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to do it. Amen. Through you. So. Yeah.
Daryl, thank you. You spent a couple days here in Warsaw, Winona Lake. You've engaged school kids at Warsaw Public Schools, at Grace College, and it has resonated in our community. I've heard from many who you've impacted, and just your humility and your effusive joy in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you for engaging. If people want to hear more or see what you're up to, what's the best way for them to kind of to find you? I know you're not on TikTok. You told us that today in chapel, but where can they find you?
I'm entirely too old for TikTok, kids. And so thank you for the kind words. You know, it's really been wonderful spending time here. with you guys and the kids over in middle school and high school. I love kids. I want them to embrace happiness. I don't want them to be disturbed by all the things that they're dealing with in the culture that they're dealing with, because God's got something good for them.
Yeah.
And if anyone want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram, DarylStrawberry18. And that's pretty much where I'm at. I am not on TikTok, people. They can TikTok, her talk, they can keep it.
All the talks, they're your talks, yeah. Wherever they are. Well, thank you everyone for listening to the Grace Story Podcast. Thanks, Daryl. Thanks our marketing team for producing it. And we would love for you to share this with others. I'm sure you've got baseball friends out there who would love to hear and know the story of Daryl Strawberry. If you have questions or comments, feel free to email us at podcast@grace.edu. And until next time, live your best grace story today.